Good morning. I'll have to be a little bit like Pastor Sean. Can you hear me? Am I on? Because he says that every Sunday morning, but I can hear myself through the mic. Just a little disclosure for those of you who are visitors, I am not Pastor Sean. And what I'm going to talk to you today about is I'm not theologically trained, so I don't have the education in this. I'm a social worker and an educator at a university in Bismarck, so The whole reason I'm here today is because Sylvia and Pastor Sean and I were talking one evening, and I was just talking to him, and I was getting really excited. And as some of you know, I get excited kind of easily, but I was just talking about how blessed we are to be a part of Peace Lutheran Church and the community that we have here within these walls. And so I'll start with saying, for those of you who are visitors, because I do see some of you are visitors, my name is Heidi Nussma. And I have been a member of Peace Lutheran Church for 52 years. For some of you, that may not seem like a long time, and you could probably tell me that you have been a member of this church much longer than me. While others, you may be thinking 52 years is a really long time to be a member of the same church. So this morning, I would like to share with you just a little bit about my journey on being a member of this church community. Most of you know my family, but for those of you who may not, I will explain how I got started as being a member of Peace Lutheran Church. When I was young, I felt as if I was really a part of a drug cartel. And so before you let your mind wander, let me explain what I mean by that. I was drug to Sunday school. I was drug to Bible school. I was drug to sing in the choir with Sylvia. And I was also drugged to church every Sunday. And that meant whether it was hot out, whether it was cold out, we tracked through tons of feet of snow, we were always in church. And so as I look out into this congregation, some of you are so familiar to me, and I know that you probably were a part of the same cartel. And so at times, my friends and I would be upset, and particularly Easter sunrise service, when we would be sitting downstairs and it would be 6 o'clock in the morning and we'd have our instruments and we'd have to be serving breakfast and we would wonder, what are we doing here so early? Why do we have to come? Our friends don't have to go to church this early. But we never really asked our parents if it was an option that we didn't have to come. We just always knew that we had to. And we knew better to ask because it would not change the outcome. We were still going to go to church. So I never really started thinking about the reasons that I attend church and the reasons that I volunteer in church, actually until about 5 years ago. And I know that that might seem like a little late in life, but I'm one of those children that still do things because my mom says to. And so when I was left on my own to try to make this decision 5 years ago, it was because I had started a new job at the University of Mary. The demands of my job were high. We had 3 of our 5 children living at home. Our children were involved in every possible activity, and the list could go on and on. Really no different than some of you and what you're going through right now. I had to try to decide what I could do to simplify my life, what I could cut out. I thought of how nice it would be if I could just sleep in one morning. And really, the only morning I would have ever had was Sundays. So before I made the decision to stop volunteering at our church and to start coming on a regular basis, I wanted to gain a clearer understanding of why is it important for me to attend church and continue participating with my church community. So as I'm talking to you today, this is not me making a recommendation of what you should do for your life. I'm just telling you my personal testimony of what I chose to do in my life and how I came to making that decision. I started with having conversations with others and looking at scripture to find my answers. These were the first 3 things I learned. If you are a Christian, church is not something you go to. It is something you are. I learned that we cannot disassociate from a church as Christians any more than we can disassociate from humanity as a person. And that we do not go to church. We are the church. Second, the church was not a human invention. It is not something that somebody just randomly made up. Half of the New Testament is not about the teaching of Jesus. It's about the work of the church that Jesus initiated and ordained. We would have to literally get rid of the majority of the New Testament to argue that the church is made up of just an organization. If we want to get rid of the church in our lives, we would also need to get rid of Jesus, because you cannot have one without the other. And third, going to church for me is not about getting an attendance gold star or about gaining God's favor for the week because I assembled with people. Church is not a place to go. Rather, it is a living body where God wants us to become a part of for our good and his glory. With that being said, I found many specific reasons for me to continue gathering in this very place. Prayer, praise, proclamation, power, partnership, preparation, and presence. I'll briefly go through into more detail just on six of the reasons. So when it comes to hearing the preaching of the word, hearing the preaching of the scripture is vital to our spiritual well-being. I could stay home and watch a sermon on TV, and I have done that. I'm just telling you. I have done that, and there's really good preachers on TV too. But without living close fellowship with real people, like all of you sitting right here, I could never experience the help and hope that Christ offers his bride faithful involvement in the church. I know that worshiping God is wonderful, but nothing can replace the beauty of coming together to worship him with others who also have his spirit in them through the redeeming work of salvation. Jesus said those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And this is in John 4:24. In order to truly worship God this way, he demands and requires some soul searching. All too often we think worship is rooted in feeling, like we have been with God. We flock to churches to help us muster up those feelings, realizing that worshiping God comes as a response to our humble gratitude for his love for us. Knowing God and his character as revealed in Scripture will stir in his children a heart of thankfulness that is expressed in worship that brings him glory, rather than self-serving emotional experience. The Spirit causes true worshipers to long to come together with other believers who honor Christ. God's Spirit stirs in us a desire to worship God, both privately and together. Secondly, we gather because iron sharpens iron. Have you ever heard of that term, iron sharpens iron? That is what Proverbs 27:17 tells us. Meeting regularly with other believers is a source of encouragement and strength. But know this, when iron rubs against iron, not only does it become sharper, it also sparks. It is just a part of the process. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And this is from Matthew 12:34. When we live in community with others, we will get bumped. And what spills out of you is what is in your heart. God uses our interactions with others to show the areas he would like to have us repent and turn to reflect more the image of his Son. Working alongside Christians in a church fellowship is a wonderful way to grow our love for God and for others. And it is God's way of showing us our areas. He wants us to mature and walk with Christ. Thirdly, to find godly mentors. I have found it helpful to find godly mentors. In our church, you will find many people who have walked the road ahead of you. Their wisdom, insights, and even vulnerability to teach me from their mistakes is one way that God has provided to help me grow. In Titus chapter 2, God helps us learn about the importance of mentorship. It is his plan for the older men and women to come alongside of the younger to train them in godliness and guide them toward building a life of no regrets. Not only is the church a wonderful place to find amazing mentors, it is also a place God wants you to use you as a mentor to somebody else, with one eye looking to godly older members for guidance and our other eye onto who God might want you to mentor. Don't be surprised at the opportunities he will give us. In 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the hear of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." I was thinking about this section, and I thought to myself, what would it be like within our church community? How many of you have ever used Google or Maps or Siri before? Okay, there's a lot of hands raised. What would happen if we would have an app like that for our church and our church community? And if we would have a question, we would first seek that out from our church members in our congregation. if I would have a problem within my marriage and my family, it would seem quite natural for me now, in this generation, for me to Google that. And I could say, I'm having problems with my spouse, what should I do? First of all, you can't trust the sources, right? You have no history on the site, and you have no idea if it's going to be Christian-based or if it's the beliefs and values that you hold. So it would serve me better if I would go to the Bears and I'd call them and stand up, if I would go to the Weisers, if I would go to Henry and Nasser, if I would go to the Petrix, if I would go, just, I look around and I could go to so many people within this church community. I could find people even my own age, right? So what would happen if we would all be each other's Google? What about if I would want to start a business and I would want to know the most Christ-like way that I could do that? Again, I could seek out to all of you who have maybe started a business, who are farming. What about parenting? I'll never forget, I had 5 children in a pew. I think Elwin was holding 2 kids. I was holding the baby, and then we had Matthew and Tyler, who were, I think, fighting on the end. And Leroy Johnner comes up and he pokes both of us and he says, remember this, little kids, little problems. Big kids, big problems. It's the best parenting advice I have ever gotten. And he was right. He was absolutely right. The older they got, the more challenging things could become. But what would happen if we wouldn't go to the websites and go to the Google and we go to each other for that guidance? I can see really how that would strengthen our community. And I think, Lisa, I think of you and like Bodhi. You have all these quilts here today. If Bodhi asks you a question, Mom, what are these quilts for? You could take them to Mrs. Shredder and you could say, here's the person you need to talk to. She will tell you about volunteering. She will tell you about hard work, and she will tell you why she does it in hopes that she can teach Bodhi so that he can do that too. So we have this wealth of information here when we talk about mentors. In this section on mentoring, I'd like to briefly mention that if you've ever stopped attending church because people have hurt you, didn't measure up to your expectations, or might be hypocritical, know that the enemy may have you right where he wants you. Maybe what bothers us should actually amaze us. I understand that the idea of church being imperfect makes some people despair, but rather than making us despair, the fact that Jesus started the church with imperfect people should make us marvel at God's incredible grace, that God would use us ordinary broken human beings as vessels of his grace, and delight in it is awe-inspiring. He's proud of how his grace is beating through our imperfect but redeemed life through the church. The idea that God would use you and me is pretty amazing, considering he probably had many other options. He could have spoken to the world directly, but instead chose to use broken people to showcase his grace to a world in a need of redemption. For sure, community is messy. People sin. Leaders are sinful. Most of the New Testament is a story of Jesus using his followers to spread his love in spite of themselves as they overcame obstacles after obstacle. The fact that Christ uses flawed people to accomplish his work on earth is actually a sign of his grace, not a sign of his absence. The church's story, as twisted as it gets sometimes, is a beautiful story of God's grace, God's power of redemption. So, by the way, is our lives, which reflects the story of the church more than we would want to admit. The next one, and I'm almost done here, to teach our kids love in church. If we want to teach our kids to love God, they need to see that we love God. And if we want them to learn to love God's people, they have to observe us loving God's people. From Luke 6:40 says that the student will become like teacher. Notice Jesus did not say the student will become as the teacher teaches him to be. Rather, he will be like his teacher. The fifth one, to bear each other's burdens. We have a lot of life between birth and death. And I would encourage each of us to live that life intertwined within our church community. Our church is really more of a place than just to come when you're being baptized and then to come when you're being put in the ground with your funeral. Galatians 6:2 teaches us throughout our life to bear each other's burdens, to fulfill the law of Christ. Life can be hard. In a moment, everything can change, but when things go great, a phone call, a diagnosis, or a host of other mishaps can leave us feeling afraid and alone. But to those who are a part of the church family, never have to feel alone. When life is going great, we have the affirmation of others. And when life throws us a curve, we are blessed by loving, concern, support, and prayer. When I look out at the congregation, many of you were at my mom and dad's wedding. You were at my baptism. You were at my wedding. You were at my dad's funeral. You were at all my children's baptisms. You were all at my children's confirmations, their weddings. With my mom being in the hospital this weekend, I've had several phone calls of support from all of you, wishing her well. She's in your prayers. So in good times and bad, we need each other to help carry those burdens and those good times. And then lastly, I was a little surprised at this, but it actually says because God says so. It doesn't say because your mom said so. So now I know if the truth is because God said so and your mom said so. So Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of Hebrews makes God's clear desire to have us regularly assemble with his people. Realizing that God wants us to regularly attend church is for our good. Our ability to organize and to accomplish more together than we can alone is one of the crowning achievements of humanity. And our ability to work together makes Christian effort far more effective. It's also a part of God's design for how we should interact while we are on this planet. Come to think of it, heaven is also a community. So we can look at this as practicing for heaven. In closing, I just want you all to know that I am just thankful and blessed that God has called me to be a part of this community of Christians. And I would like to close with a quote from one of the most kind, pleasant, and talented 18-year-olds that I know. A couple weeks ago, Sydney posted a picture on Facebook, and it was a picture of Annie, Pastor Sean, and myself and Sydney. And she didn't know I was planning this this message, but it was so fitting. And so out of her, she's so mature for her age, but what she said is, church is not just something you go to, but a family you belong to. So thank you, Sid, for your wise words of wisdom at such a young age, and thank you for being a part of our family, and thank you for singing with us this year. We will definitely miss you next year when you go, but you're still a part of our family, so you can always come back. Great, thank you.